Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Frederick Rich, who's a partner with a law firm based in New York. He has studied at Princeton University, King's College, Cambridge, and the University of Virginia. And his latest book just out is Christian Nation. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frederick Rich.
Thank you, Ian.
And your book is in the spirit of Sinclair Lewis's 1935 novel, It Can't Happen Here, and also Philip Roth's The Plot Against America, in as much as it's a warning about something that could happen but hasn't happened. And what you've done is that you've taken the 2008 elections, which were very, very close until the crash happened in 2000. The economy started to crash. Probably had that not happened, it may. There's quite a possibility that McCain might have done better or even won. But you take
absolutely,
and you take the position that McCain wins, and shortly thereafter he has an aneurysm and dies, and then Sarah Palin becomes the president of the United States. So take us from that point.
Well, yeah, that is the counterfactual, Ian. That's what sets the book in motion. And as you say, I chose that that particular counterfactual because it actually could have happened, easily could have happened. And, you know, I use fiction here to try to explore the same topic that you explore and that a number of your guests have explored using nonfiction and journalism. But, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of the great books about the Christian Nation movement and its theocratic tendencies really haven't gotten a lot of traction. So I thought I would try something different and do it as a novel. And you know, it's what they call speculative fiction. But in this case, I didn't have to speculate very much because the Christian right has pretty much told us exactly what it would do if it gained power. So what the book really is about is how it might happen. In other words, a lot of us, I think, aren't as worried, in my view, as much as we should be, because we think somehow the Supreme Court and the Constitution will defend us from these people. And my book shows a path in which actually those defenses break down and they end up gaining power and succeeding in introducing the sort of theocratic state that they dream of.
And, of course, the evidence is manifest because the Christian right has portrayed an America. They've really talked about a theocratic America, America that they envision. The evidence, the whole scenario of what America would be like under them is all very clear. And if you want a kind of preliminary taste of Christian fascism in America, what we were just talking about it happening down there in Texas and in North Carolina, it's a perfect petri dish for a right-wing takeover of America.
Absolutely, and it's really only the 14th Amendment and the Supreme Court, the federal courts and the Supreme Court, you know, that stand between that avalanche of legislation that is going through the red state legislatures. I'm sure you saw Gary Wills counted up 944 different bills in the first quarter of 2012 dealing with abortion and contraception. You know, all we've seen the law recently tabled in North Carolina to establish Christianity as the official religion of that state. You know, the we know what the legislative program looks like because it's tabled every day in the red state legislatures. What we don't know is how vulnerable we are to that legislative program taking effect if the federal courts cease to be an effective defense against it.
So in your new novel that's just out, Christian Nation, Frederick Rich, where we have Sarah Palin as president of the United States, McCain and Palin win in 2008. McCain dies shortly thereafter, and then Sarah Palin gets to be Sarah Palin, and she's a firm believer in Armageddon and all of that Christian dogma that you see on Christian television. A lot of secular people find it rather silly. It's one of the biggest sellers is the Left Behind series.
Of course.
But people don't recognize the incredible hubris of people like Sarah Palin, who are insulated in their ignorance and piety. The bottom line is that Sarah Palin and her ilk want our world to end in burning flesh so that their world can begin.
You know, Ian, one of the biggest mistakes that we make on the coasts living in our own, perhaps, liberal bubble is not understanding that when these people say they believe something, they actually believe it, that they mean it, and they do mean it. And it's not just Sarah Palin. You know, the numbers are quite extraordinary. Consistently over the years, roughly 30% of Americans polled say they believe in the literal truth of the entirety of the Bible. They believe in the rapture of the church in their lifetimes. And as you probably know, this group has the highest voting participation rates in the country, about 85%, as opposed to the average, which vacillates somewhere around 50%.
But we've seen replicas of democracy and religion fused together, and that is what we've seen it underway in Turkey under Erdogan, where he's pushing the envelope and turning a democracy into a theocracy. And you've also just seen what happened in Egypt with Morsi. Obviously, it's a pretty murky business, and it looks more and more like Saudi Arabia's behind the coup because they don't want any form of an alternative to their draconian feudal racket that they've got going with Wahhabism and the royal family being able to get all the money from the oil. So they're determined to sabotage any other alternative Islamic model. But what I find extraordinary in the United States is that there, people don't see the similarities between American Christo-fascists and what they easily and often refer to as Islamo-fascists.
Exactly. And the pattern is repeated over and over. And by the way, it's not just Islam that has fundamentalists. I mean, there's a serious fundamentalist, Hindu fundamentalist movement that's affected the political scene in India, and of course the Christian fundamentalists here, and they're remarkably the same. And if you look at how fundamentalism takes a hold, it's the same program over and over. Not only do you have fundamentalists who, like Sarah Palin, claim to speak to and for God, who tell us what God wants, but the other elements of fundamentalism are the same. You know, they're intolerant of non-believers. They have a particular disdain for any kind of intellectual inquiry. We see the Islamic fundamentalists trying to destroy the education system in Nigeria and Afghanistan. And, of course, we see in this country, the homeschooling movement, which is largely evangelical, which seeks to protect children from any kind of a secular education or influence. And the most disturbingly is that this trend, which this kind of fundamentalism is usually kept in a corner until you have conditions of very deep social anxiety and real economic suffering, and that's when it flourishes. And in my book, what happens is that because McCain is elected and there's actually no effort to fix the economy, we see a very, very serious depression in the country, which actually makes the ground particularly fertile for the sort of demagogic message that all fundamentalists offer. So it takes, for this kind of fundamentalism to take hold, it takes some bad luck, but it fundamentally takes the rest of us to be complacent. And, you know, that's the real lesson of the 1930s in Germany and these other places. The biggest single issue was that the rest of us were complacent. And that is really what my book is intended to cure.
Again, I'm speaking with Frederick Rich, who's the author of the new book just out, Christian Nation. And in the book, after the economy tanks, McCain dies, Palin is president of the United States, and they introduce this authoritarian law called the Blessing. And of course, they also use digital technology known as the Purity Web. So just give us an idea of the way your novel, Christian Nation, portrays the methodology by which this friendly fascist, Christian fascism takes over America.
You have not only the Depression, Ian, but and I don't want to give away everything in the book, but right. There is also another deeply traumatic national incident which helps pave the way and enables the Palin administration in the book to introduce martial law. The Blessing, it's very interesting how I created the Blessing. It's basically a compilation of the political and legal agenda of the Christian right over the last 20 years on topics having to do with the family, education, religion in the public sphere, the role of women, who should be allowed to be teachers. As you know, they don't approve of homosexuals in the school. There's a move that to simply presume all non-married teachers over a certain age to be homosexual. Basically, I didn't have to make it up, Ian. All I had to do was compile it. And of course, one of the problems also is that much of this agenda has appeared in actual legislation that was tabled not only in the states but in the federal Congress during the middle of the first decade of this century. There was a piece of legislation called the Constitution Restoration Act, which basically never passed the U.S. Congress but received hundreds of votes, plurality in the Congress, which seeks to deny the federal court's jurisdiction over matters having to do with church and state. The vision that I paint in the book, although it's obviously speculative fiction, it is based almost entirely on the actual stated agenda of a broad spectrum of the Christian far right, together with legislative tools that they've already developed and tried out. So it didn't take a good deal of speculation. And finally, Ian, you ask about the tools. I wrote the book before our current understanding of what the federal government was doing today in terms of internet surveillance. I basically took existing technologies that are used by authoritarian, in many cases religious authoritarian governments in Saudi Arabia, Iran, China, technologies that already exist, and simply adapted them to the purposes of the Christian fundamentalists here. I mean, almost all of us from the time we get up to the time we get to work are on some kind of camera. Most of those cameras are web-enabled. And in Saudi Arabia today, computers are able to look at those cameras and track your behavior. They can, for example, tell if two people are engaged in public displays of affection, which is illegal, as you may know, in Saudi Arabia.
Illegal here in the United States. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time, Frederick Rich, but I thank you so much for your novel. It's really an extraordinary read, and to me, it's very plausible in the worst possible sense. But I thank you so much for it.
Ian, thanks for your interest and thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Frederick Rich, who's a partner with a law firm based in New York. He's studied at Princeton University, King's College, Cambridge, and the University of Virginia. And his latest book, not just out, is the novel Christian Nation. And again, I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again with another background briefing. Bye for now. Side of the